you this morning, because only you are found worthy. Yes, Lord. Yes, praise him. Only he's found worthy, saints. Hollywood is not worthy. We are not worthy. The government isn't worthy. Only God is worthy. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. We enter into worship, Father, because there's only one found worthy. And that's the thing, saints, is that worship is a choice. We must choose to enter, because only he is found worthy. When we look around, look at the world, look at Hollywood, government, look at ourselves, only he's found worthy. Only he's worthy of the praise. Only he could open the scroll. Only he could give us life. So, Father, this morning we just thank you. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus, because only you are found worthy. Only you are found worthy, Father. Only you are found worthy, Jesus. Only you, only you, only you, only you, only you. Oh, Father, we thank you this morning. We ask that you fix our eyes on you, Lord God. Let us not look at man. Let us not look at anything else but you. Help us to just stay in your presence, Lord God. Help us to see you for who you are, as the one that is worthy of our praise, of our lives, of all that we are, Lord Jesus. Father, we can do nothing without you. So we ask this morning that you come and sit in our service and let your presence rest on us, Father, and help us to hear what you're saying to your people. Oh, Father, we just thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody out with us this Sunday. I know last week was a little bit different. I have some pictures from last week, and it was about five of us in here. So it is good to see everybody out. And for those of you guys online as well, thank you for being out with us out as well. So last week, raise your hand if you watched the service online. Amen. 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 Well, thank you for tuning in. And hopefully we don't have to do that anymore. Hopefully you guys could be in service and we can fellowship and fellowship with each other and God as one. Amen. 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 But once again, good morning. It's good to see everybody back in service on this beautiful, warm Sunday. Amen. So turn with me to the book of John chapter 5, verse 28. John chapter 5, verse 28. And John chapter 5, verse 28 reads, "Do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." So in John 5, verse 28, we see what we call our future hope, which is being resurrected with Christ. And the scripture tells us that just like a trumpet will be sounded in the sky, we're going to hear the sound of the Lord calling his people to come on up. And we will be resurrected just like Jesus was resurrected from the grave. But I fear that because we are looking forward to that future hope of resurrection, sometimes the question is, well, what do I do now while I'm here? So I know I'm going to be resurrected, but I'm still going through trials. I'm still struggling. I still have things that are slowing me down in my walk with Christ. So this morning, I want to look at two different resurrections. Because while reading the book of Matthew chapter 28 during the ice storm, the Holy Spirit showed me how sometimes we can have a resurrection that is not quite there. So so let's look at the first resurrection, and that is the resurrection of Lazarus. So turn with me to the book of John chapter 11. John chapter 11 from verse 38. Now, most of you guys know the story of Lazarus, but Lazarus was a friend of Jesus.
And when Jesus heard that Lazarus was about to die or was sick, Jesus says, hey, don't worry. Lazarus is not going to die. He'll be just fine. And Jesus purposely waited 4 days just to make sure that Lazarus was dead, buried, and in the grave. So now Jesus now goes into his hometown, and he is there to do what only he can do, which is to resurrect his friend Lazarus. So in John chapter 11, verse 38, this is a picture of Jesus at the tomb, and it reads, then Jesus, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay on it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Verse 41 then says this, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. So Jesus could and would resurrect Lazarus. But we see here that in this scripture that even if Jesus did so, there was a stone in the way. So Jesus could call forth Lazarus, but there was a stone that still had to be rolled away. Verse 43 says this, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. So once again, Jesus could and did resurrect Lazarus, but Lazarus came out bound with grave clothes. Lazarus came out, but there was a stone that still needed to be rolled away. So I don't know about your story, but if you slow down and really think through this, this is a lot of our stories. In fact, this is my story. Saved at a young age, been in church all my life, but from my teenage years to really early in my marriage, like some of you guys, I was bound by weed, bound by porn, bound by me, like bound by self. And just like Lazarus, there was only so far I could go with God. Yes, God has resurrected me. Yes, he has given me his spirit. But like Lazarus, I was still in the grave. I needed someone to roll that stone away. I needed someone to actually unbound me. And this is sadly, sometimes, oftentimes, where many Christians find themselves in. Are we saved? Yes. Do we love God? Yes. But can we still have pockets, places, thoughts in our lives where we're bound? Places where we haven't truly experienced that resurrection life. So that was my grave clothes, and that was my grave. Porn, weed, self. And just like many of you guys, I always thought that, you know what, someday I'm going to meet some great man of God who's going to lay hands on me and roll the stone away. And you know, he's going to just come in my life and preach that one fiery, strong message and lay his hands on me and boom, I would no longer watch porn. I would no longer smoke weed. I would no longer do all these things that my flesh wanted to do. Like Lazarus, I was looking, waiting for somebody to roll my stone away, to loosen my grave clothes. And maybe that was faith, but last night while prepping for this, it dawned on me that, you know, so when I was 10, my father was sick with cancer. And I got so used to going from man of God to man of God to prophet to this, that would always lay hands on him and say that he will be healed and all these things. So maybe subconsciously, I became that kind of person that was looking for help in a man, looking for someone to come and roll away my stone, looking for someone to come and take off my grave clothes, right? And we all do that. We all think that, oh, that person on stage, if he can just lay hands on me, trust me, I'll be much better. But like Lazarus, we see here that though Jesus can and has resurrected many of you guys, giving you new life, put his spirit in you, we can still be bound by things. We can still have patterns and ways that we think that actually hold us back. So like Lazarus, I was in the grave. And like Paul says in Romans 7, verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? Who will help me? I need somebody to come and unbound me and roll away this stone. And while just studying this, the Holy Spirit once again nudged me and said, now look at the resurrection of Jesus. Because we often, though we know that Jesus Christ resurrected, we think that, well, he's Jesus. I'm more like Lazarus. Because he's going to call me forth, and like Lazarus, I'm going to rise up. But the scripture says that he's the firstborn of many sons. So we are meant to be like him. So his resurrection is our resurrection. The resurrection of Lazarus, it's a great miracle, but it's a shadow. It's a blueprint of the real thing, right? So if you were to look at my shadow on this floor, you can tell that, okay, he's kind of big, he's kind of this, he's kind of that. But you don't really get the clear picture of who that person is. So the resurrection of Lazarus, though it's good, though we should know it, though we can learn things from it, it's still just a type and a shadow. Our resurrection is that of Christ. So let's look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew 28. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, it says this. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like that was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Amen. Now turn with me to the book of John 20, verse 5. And this scripture is the same story, but just with a little bit more detail as to what happened that day. And it says in verse 5, and he, stooping down, so this is Peter and John, and he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. So while studying this, I remember telling my wife, like, God just showed me something. God just showed me something. So I want to share with you what I believe the Lord showed me. Fact number one, Jesus left the grave before the stone was rolled away. See, many times we think that the earthquake came, rolled the stone away, then he walked out. No, Jesus left the grave while the stone was still there. Fact number two, the stone was rolled away for the disciples. so that they could look in, so that their faith could rise. The stone was not rolled away because of Jesus. Fact number three, Jesus removed his own bandages. He was so in control of death and the grave that he took it off himself. Unlike Lazarus, he was not waiting for somebody to roll the stone away. He was not waiting for someone to come in and take off his grave clothes. He simply just got up, took it off, and walked out. And we see here that in verse 3, it says, his countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. Sometimes we think that's about Jesus. That's about the angel. Once again, Jesus was not in that grave. No man, nobody had to help Jesus out of that grave. Unlike Lazarus, Jesus simply just walked out, simply just got up and walked out. So, yes, the resurrection of Lazarus, it's a great miracle. We can learn from it, but it's not our resurrection. Our resurrection experience is that of Jesus. He is our example. He is the one that we need to say, okay, Lord, I know I'm going through this thing, but I know that this resurrection power is living in me. I can simply walk out of it. I don't have to seek man. I don't have to go from ministry to ministry trying to find that right man who can just lay hands on me and do this and do that. No, I have that resurrection power living in me. And that is why Paul says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So Paul is not saying that I might know the resurrection of life in John 5. No, he's saying that I might know him now. And the power of his resurrection now, meaning that resurrection is not just a moment. It's not when you get saved, and it's not when God says, come up to heaven. Resurrection is now. We can know that power now. We can walk in that power now. We can have that power now. But oftentimes we don't think that way. You know, and that's why the scripture says that my people, they perish for a lack of knowledge, because sometimes we know the Lord, but we don't really know the Lord, right? We know we've been set free, but we don't know how free. Like, we know that, yeah, we're going to be resurrected, but we think, yeah, but that's for someday down the line. But the scripture says, no, that you can know that resurrection power now. We can walk in it now. So how do we know this power now? Like, what do we do? How do we actually know this power now? And what does this power do for us? In Romans 8, verse 11. So I'll take it back real quick. In Romans 7, verse 24, as Paul was saying, O wretched man, who will deliver me from this body of death? What Paul was saying is, I know I love God. I know I'm saved. I know I have the Spirit of God in me, but I'm struggling in my flesh. I can't seem to do those things that I want to do for God. And the things that I don't want to do, I keep on doing those things. So drop down to Romans 8, verse 11. And this is Paul saying this. He says, but the right way to actually read this is since. So since the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now pause there. Paul is not talking about the resurrection of life. Paul is not saying that you know, someday God will raise you up from the grave and he will take you to heaven. Paul is saying he will give life to your mortal bodies right now. He will quicken your flesh right now so that you can actually walk in the things God has called you to walk in. This is the resurrection power that is at work in us right now. But oftentimes we think that, oh yeah, well, I have the Holy Spirit and, you know, that's good and, you know, it's for my spirit. But Paul is showing us here that the spirit that dwells in us is not just for our spirit, but it's also to saturate our being so that we can actually grow in sanctification and learn to obey those things that God has told us to obey. So to keep it really simple, the Holy Spirit is the power of resurrection. And as he dwells in us, he becomes our operating system. So it's not just the moment. I'll say it like this. If the only time that you use your phone was when you bought the phone, what good is the phone? But many of us, that's how we kind of see our walk. We're like, oh yeah, God saved me in 1982. Great. But what about now? Right? So Paul is saying here that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And that spirit, that is the resurrection power of God at work in us now. And that same spirit will also give life to your mortal bodies now. You don't have to wait until you get to heaven to start walking in victory. You don't have to wait until God comes back for you to actually start walking in victory. That resurrection power can and will give life to your mortal bodies now. And you know, sometimes it's not to say that once you encounter that resurrection power, you will never sin no more. But it's to say that, as Paul would say, that once you truly know that resurrection power, you begin to grow in godliness. You begin to learn how to walk with God. You begin to learn how to walk through things that once had you bound. You begin to actually say that, no, like, I am not just a overcomer, but I am a new creature. You know, like, it's almost like this. When somebody goes to AA, they can be 33 years sober, and they still say, hi, my name is Ike, and I am a alcoholic. Is that freedom? After 33 years sober, you still say, hi, guys, this is me, bound by this thing, right? But we see here that what Paul is saying, that resurrection life will quicken your mortal bodies, and it will give life to you now, not in the resurrection of life. So I'll share with you guys two quick stories. And one of them, so if you're a member of this church, you know the story of our pastor. Like you guys, he was a Christian, saved, in church, but he, like we all do, backslid. And he was bound for 7 years to the point where he was put in a crazy house. And as he says it, just one moment, crying out to God, God broke that thing and he walked through that door and never looked back. That is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He did not need someone to come in there and lay hands on him and pray over him and do all these things. He simply just cried out to that resurrection power and was able to walk out of that grave himself. And that is what Jesus wants to do for every single one of us. Every area of our lives where we might be bound. Every area of our lives where we feel like, I just need to find the right person to pray for me and lay hands on me and the right church and the right ministry and the right this. God is saying, no, you have the resurrection power in you. If you believe, as Jesus said to Mary, if you believe, you will see the resurrection today. And she said, well, no, Lord, I know that in the resurrection of life. No, if you believe, you will see the resurrection power today. And I know my story, being bound by porn, I was that person. I mean, I was seeking freedom. So much so that I would, there's an app called Covenant Eyes, right? And it's an app where you and your buddy, they kind of get to see what you watch on the web. So I was doing everything to break free. Like, hey, somebody help me. Like, watch what I'm watching. Like, track me. Make sure I'm doing good. Make sure I'm not, you know, seeing things I'm not supposed to see. But as I grew in the knowledge of Christ, I simply just walked out of that thing. Just like Jesus just walked out the grave. Just like he walked through the walls, I simply just walked out of it. No one had to watch me. No one has to watch my phone. Like my wife can go to my phone right now and is like, there is no fear. Like, there was nothing there that she would see that's like, oh, no. Because God's resurrection power gave me the power just to walk out of it. Just to stop having my taste buds like that thing. So this morning, the question is really simple. Can you take him at his word? As Jesus said to Mary, if you believe today, you will see the resurrection power. If you believe, not tomorrow, not when I come back, but if you believe, because that same spirit that resurrected Christ from the grave lives in us. So nothing against, therapy or doctors or trying hard or self-help or you know, trying to just do it by yourself. Discipline is good. We need those things. But there's some things that discipline can't do. There are some things that doctors and the wise men of the world can't do. We need the resurrection power of Christ this day in our lives, in our churches, in our homes, for our children, for our families, for all the things that we touch. So maybe you're like me. You spent many years waiting for that right pastor, that right prophet to come to your town and, you know, lay hands on you and throw his jacket on you. And, you know, that would be your salvation, so to speak. But the truth is this, that as Romans 8, verse 11 says, since the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the question is, do you believe that? Not do you know, but do you believe that that same spirit dwells in you? And not just that, if you then believe that, can you believe that he who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken, give life to your mortal bodies so that you can begin to walk through things that once had you bound? You can begin to take off those grave clothes and actually not be limited to the grave. Because if Lazarus was not unbound, though he would have been living, his life would have been in the grave. His body, his movement would have been limited. And sadly, that's oftentimes what we go through. We love God, we're saved, but we can only go so far with God. We can only walk so far out with God. Our faith only takes us so far out. But we see here that unlike the resurrection of Lazarus, which is good, we have a better resurrection. We have the true resurrection. And that true resurrection has implications now. We can walk through things. We can have victory. Those things that once had us bound can now be dropped off. So this morning, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Let's just take a moment, heads bowed, and just ask the Lord to search your heart. And you just bring your heart before him. Because we know that as much as we love the Lord, there are parts of our lives where we are bound or not as free as we ought to be. There are parts of our lives where we have things, thoughts, patterns that are not subject to the Holy Spirit that is in us. So, Father, this morning we just come before you knowing that you are the resurrection of life. We know that we can do nothing without you. We know that you don't just call us forth, but that your Holy Spirit lives in us. And that Holy Spirit gives us the power to walk out the grave ourselves. That Holy Spirit gives us the power to take off those grave clothes ourselves. That Holy Spirit It's the very operating spirit that lives in us. So, Father, help us this morning. Help us, Lord, to believe, Father. As the man said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Oh, Father, everywhere where we don't really believe, Father, help us. Help us. Help us, Lord Jesus. Father, we can do nothing without you. We know that the resurrection is not for tomorrow, but it can be right now. We can begin to break habits, break cycles, break things that once had us bound right now if we simply believe, if we simply trust you, if we simply cry out to you. All heads bowed. Please rise. Let's just truly go to the Lord. Father, we just thank you this morning. We just thank you. We know that the power is not in the preacher. The power is not in the man who stands on stage, Father, but the power is in your resurrection. The power lies with you. The power rose with you. And the power sits with you right now as you sit at the right hand of the Father. So we cry out to you this morning saying, have your way. Oh, Father, resurrect our lives. Any areas, any places where we have put our hope and trust in man. Any place where we have put our hope and trust in things that will fade away. Oh, Father, just forgive us. Have mercy on us, Lord. And help us look to you as our only source of help.
Being the author and finisher of our faith, Lord, we rely on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give Pastor Ike a hand. That word was on time. Resurrection of life is now, not later. Amen. If you haven't had a time to give just yet, do so. We do need your support, and we thank you so much for your support as well to those in-house and those that have joined us by webcast. On February 22nd, please do not forget both services. Brother Torrence Nash will be here. Let's come out and show our support for Brother Torrence Nash. Amen. Pakistan, this is the last week that we're going to gather the donations to help our Pakistan orphanage. Our brothers and sisters, they do need our help, y'all. They need 30 mattresses, and they're $90 a piece. To many of us, we have good mattresses in our house, right? You turn it one way, and you get more life out of it. They need our help, and they need mattresses. So if we can come together and do that for them, please let's do so. Amen. You can give on the kiosk, just press mattresses, or you can write on your check for mattresses and put it in an envelope and put it in the baskets. While we are standing, let's bless our way out. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We ask, Lord God, that you would allow us to keep our minds set upon you, keep our hearts set upon you, Father. Keep reminding us, Lord God, that our resurrection is now, so that we may walk in your glory, so that we may minister your word to those that are in need. Father, we thank you so much for your word again. The seeds that were planted in our hearts, we ask, Father God, that you water them so that they may blossom and grow. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.